Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in worship this morning. We have once again entered into the season of Advent. And what this is, for some of us who may have forgotten, it is the 4 weeks leading into the week of Christmas. It is indeed an exciting season because just about now, the Christmas trees are being put up. We did ours yesterday. And lights and decorations are being put up. Gifts are beginning to get wrapped as Christmas songs are being sung. All of this is done in expectancy of the celebration of our Savior's birth. This is what the season of Advent is all about, the preparation of the arrival of the baby Jesus. But as this season is only a commemoration of what took place over 2,000 years ago, we as the church have to be reminded during this preparation that we are to be preparing for the imminent return of our Lord. Israel waited for the birth of a Savior, but we are waiting for the coming of the Savior King, Jesus Christ. If there is one thing we ought to know about our God by now, it will be His track record on fulfilling His promises. God is a God who fulfills His promise. When He says He will do something, He will do it. And so we can go back and track His record and see that He has been faithful. He did send a flood during the day of Noah as He promised. He gave Father Abraham the land of Canaan as He promised. He delivered Israel from the hands of Pharaoh as He promised. He brought them into the promised land as He promised. He led them into captivity after they rebelled as He promised. The seed of a woman was born and crushed Satan's head as He promised. He died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven as He promised. He sent us the Holy Spirit as He promised. And so looking at all of this, we know that He will be coming back on clouds as He promised. So the church waits on that. So today, as we deal with the subject of expectancy, I would like us to consider the importance of making the return of Christ a part of our every day or every hourly schedule in the day. It's an important thing that we seem to forget about. As students, between your classes and breaks, need to always have on your schedule the return of Jesus Christ. Employers, between your hiring and firing, and the opening and closing of your business day, must always have in the midst of that the schedule that Jesus Christ may return. The employee, between your going to and coming from work, your work hours and your breaks, you must always have on your schedule the return of Jesus Christ. So from our gospel text this morning, let's see some of the events that would follow His coming. The first thing we want to look at is the knowing of His coming. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, it reads, "But about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." This text first suggests to us that there is a definite day and hour fixed for this great appearing that we are talking about. So we can all agree that God has it scheduled because the scripture says so. We don't know when it is, as the Bible says. We don't know when that return is, but we definitely are aware and are very sure that Jesus Christ will be coming back, as He says, because it's on the Father's schedule. You see, when we are making plans, we will not worry about the rest of the world as we make our plans. And all of you sitting in this room right now, you have your plan laid out, if not for the week, but for tomorrow. Most of us know what we're going to be doing tomorrow. You got it all squared out. Doctor's appointment. You got somebody you have to visit, special lunch, whatever it is you have on your schedule. You made that schedule not thinking about the rest of the world. It is about what you're going to do. Many of us planned for the Thanksgiving, and we invited some friends to come over at our house or families. And some came, some didn't. It didn't stop your schedule. You did what you had to do with the folks who showed up. But you had your schedule laid out, and nothing was going to interfere with that. Let me tell you now, folks, God has his schedule planned. He has a day that has been set up when he is going to return back to the earth. And let me tell you, nothing on the earth is going to stop that plan. God is going to show up when the time comes. So we make plans and we don't care about the rest of the world. God has made his plan, and he really is not considering what we are doing on that day when he's coming back. God the Father has his schedule set, and when it happens, it's going to erupt the entire world's schedule. And that's the thing about it. That's what makes it different from yours. We have our schedules and we carry it out. It doesn't bother other people. But the day when Jesus comes, he's going to stop all schedules. Everything is going to stop. This is a mandatory invitation. And this is the reason why, as we go through the day and as we go through our times and go through our seasons and our schedules, we have to have God in our minds and know that he has a mandatory schedule that he has laid out that is going to affect ours on a particular day and time that we don't know about. Look what it says in Matthew 24, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So now, some of the events in the days of Noah we need to look at. Let's see some of those things and tell me if it sounds familiar to you. Now look in Matthew 24, verses 38 through 39 is where these events are. It says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now look at this text very intently. The first thing we want to see, we see in this text is a normal, ordinary schedule day, just as we just said it. Schedules are being met. People are carrying on their normal life on this day. It's going to happen on an ordinary weekday when Jesus Christ is going to come. We don't know that it's going to be on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or on a Sunday. We don't know, but it's going to be on a weekday when Jesus Christ is going to return. The scripture is letting us know they were doing the ordinary thing, like the things like all of us would on an ordinary weekday. And so this is exactly what it is. Second thing is the phrase, Noah entered the ark. Look at that phrase. Noah entered the ark. You see, whenever you think about the ark, you think about a place of safety. Every time we think about the ark, we think about a place of deliverance. When you think about the ark, you think about salvation. And the scripture says that Noah and his family were entering the ark, and the people knew nothing about it. So every time I see this, it brings to me the imagery of salvation, that folks are being saved, and people are coming into faith in Christ. And people are being born again and entering into this ark of safety. Whereas the world doesn't seem to understand what's going on. The scripture says that they knew nothing about what would happen. They didn't know the significance of salvation. Like you and I gather in church on Sunday, and together we go through the creeds and we go through our confessions and absolutions. It's because we believe in a cross. We believe that one man died on the cross of Calvary, and he brought redemption and salvation to the whole world. And our faith in this brings us together. And we come together as one people united in Christ. And we look to Jesus Christ for grace. And we look to him for mercy, and he grants mercy. And we come around the rail, and we take communion together. Because we believe in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and what it brings to us. The world sees it as foolishness because they know nothing about it. And as we baptize, they don't understand why we do those things. But folks, this is exactly what happened in the days of Noah. The work of God was going on and the people were blind to the work of God. It's the same situation that is happening in our day and time today. God is delivering people out of the peril of darkness and bringing him into his marvelous light through the ark, his son, Jesus Christ. People are being saved every day, every hour, even this very moment. As I preach the word of God, someone is coming to faith in God and people are being saved. Just as it would be on that day, folks, as people are entering in the ark of Christ, at that very moment, when the world would know nothing about it or don't understand it, it would be when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to show up. The third thing we see is that in the phrase, until the flood came. See, Noah's day, the cloud brought forth in Noah's day, the cloud brought forth rain. But in our day today, it's going to bring forth our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of these days, folks, listen, he's going to come riding on clouds. And the Bible says that all eyes shall see him all over the world. We will see Jesus Christ when he returns. The cloud is not going to be bringing rain on that day. It's going to be bringing back our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will be coming on clouds. And this is what we wait for. Let's look at the next point this morning, is the separation at his coming. In Matthew 24 verses 40 and 41 reads, two men will be in a field, one will be ticking and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be ticking and the other left. Now, this text suggests the greatest separation ever in the history of mankind that is going to happen. The whole worldwide ripple effect of this thing is going to happen at the same time, where folks will be at work, as the scripture says it, and then some people will be taken away while others will be left behind. Some people will be at school while some friends will be taken away, others will be left behind. And at home too, there will be folks who will be taking, and some will be left behind. Some people will be traveling on the plane, on a flight, and maybe the pilot will be taking away, and some of the passengers will be taking away, but some will be left on that flight. This is going to be a serious thing. Some people will be in a car driving, and the driver will be taking away, and the passengers will be left in that car. And imagine what a disaster that will be when that happens. But the Bible tells us Christians to be ready for this. We should be ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we don't know when he's going to show up. This is why I titled this sermon this morning, Celebrating Advent in Advent. We are celebrating the first Advent in the second Advent, because the coming of Jesus is so near. All of the signs of the time we can see around us tell us that his coming is near. And all we need to be doing is looking up to the skies and waiting for that time when he should show up. This is so important. In conclusion this morning, we, the church, are asked by our Lord in verse 42 to keep watch. To keep watch. This means living in a daily expectation of his return. Keep watch. This is so important. I believe that one of the reasons why we gather here this morning is because we are keeping watch. We are keeping watch because we know our Savior will return anytime, and we want to be prepared when he comes back. A lot of folks have fallen away from this race. They're falling away from the faith. They've gotten caught up into the illusion of this world and the system that have been set up out there. They only talk about the time when they used to, once upon a time, be involved in God, but they're no longer in God. How sad it is. But you and I are here today. We are here today by our choice to follow the cross of Jesus Christ. We are here today because we know one of these days he's going to come back. He didn't tell us when. We are preparing for his coming, and it's the reason why we sit in church this morning. We have this expectation that someday our Lord will return. So as we go about our council meetings here at church, as we go about preparing for Christmas and putting up the Christmas decoration after church today, We have it embedded in the back of our minds that our Lord and Savior could come at any time. And we don't for any one moment doubt that, but we walk in that truth. I think there are two ways through which this would happen. Why should we be prepared now? Well, first thing is we have to understand that no one is promised life in this world. The death can appear at any time, and we be all going away from this place one by one. So we have to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ now, because any moment we might be taken away from the earth. And if that happens, we go prepared and we fly away into glory. We want to be prepared right at the cross, right at the feet of Jesus Christ, not in our own strength, not in our own works, but depending on the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we come prepared, waiting for his coming. Second is he could come anytime, just as we said earlier. In verse 44, lastly, he says, be ready. Don't let it come as a surprise to you. Be ready. The church must be ready. We shouldn't see his coming whenever he comes to be a surprise, but we must be ready. Have it in the back of our minds. Have it on our schedule, on our daily schedules, that Jesus Christ is going to show up at any time. I pray this morning that as you have heard these words from God, it encourage your faith to keep steadfast in it, knowing always that God would never bring you this far and leave you. He will not teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say this morning, amen.